welcome to the 10th episode of the Pirate Podcast here at Pirate Studios Silver Lake. We're out of the UK. We have been. The last episode wasn't in the UK. So let's say hi. I'm Danny. You might know me from the last podcast. And like the first six. Was that a good intro?
That was great.
Loved it. Okay.
Aside from the fact you got the name of the show wrong, it was amazing.
Wait, Pirate Podcast.
You haven't been listening, have you? It's changed.
Oh, it changed. I told you I didn't listen to the UK ones. I was protesting.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Because LA is the only one that matters.
It's now called the Pirate Studios Podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
This makes more sense now, because when you search Pirate Podcast, there was a lot of historical content coming up.
Yeah, and it was a problem.
It wasn't tracking quite.
Anyway, are we keeping that? We're going to keep that one?
No, we're keeping all
Perfect.
Of this.
Okay, well, that's good. Because we have Jordan Abrams with us. Hey, Jordan.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're going to fire some questions at you shortly. Okay. But I wanted to quickly get into how we first met, which
you remember? Was,
I do remember, yeah. So, but I feel like I need bits of it to be pieced together. So there was Eric the architect, who you manage, was doing a live stream from Silver Lake Studios in one of the DJ rooms. I saw that live stream, commented on it, and then you got in touch with me. Is that how I try to piece it together?
Yeah, exactly. And we were in there.
Oh yeah,
we were in there. He was live, and then I was also watching it, so I could see the comments.
There we go.
And then I think you said something like, "Are you at Pirate Silver Lake?"
Yeah,
or something like that. Or is this Pirate Silver Lake?
That's the one.
And I'm like, you have to be connected to Pirate to say that. And I just found this place on my own organically. It was like, you know, we just need to do like a quick DJ setup, mic.
Okay.
For a rehearsal, and I clicked on you, and it said Pirate in your bio.
Perfect. Yeah, and unbeknownst to you, and everyone here, obviously, I was actually looking on the cameras too.
So
I was
like,
I know that.
Oh,
and
wow.
Surveillance.
I wasn't just sat there like on the cameras, like thinking, come across it. I saw the live stream. I was like, I think I know which room that is. I looked on the cameras, like, okay, it is. Then I was like, hey, you're a pirate.
Which room it was?
Oh, yeah,
That's impressive.
And then you found out that it was my name or Eric's?
No, nothing like that.
How did you do
that? That would be contravening GDPR guidelines, etc.
CCTV.
Guys, I shouldn't have had the access to the CCTV in the first place. I'm not sure why I told anyone this.
Yeah, let's clarify, it's never used for that reason.
No, and he also did not know the details of the booking or anything, but...
Okay. That's a whole other system.
Why wouldn't you just wait for a response?
What?
Did you already follow him? I don't.
I can't remember how I came across the
maybe
live stream.
Must have done.
Yeah.
Maybe someone sent it.
Was this on like perhaps. Instagram or?
Instagram.
Yeah. It was live on Instagram.
Yeah. Am I digging? I feel like I'm digging.
We maybe should stop.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
But it's a good way to meet, though.
Yeah. Power of the
And then I think I DM'd you. I'm like, hey, you work at Pirate. We're here.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Because we were using it in the spaces anyway.
Absolutely.
And then we did a giveaway.
We did like a combined giveaway. That
what did you give away?
Tickets.
Tickets. It was tickets, and then it was studio credit.
Studio credit. Yeah, that makes sense.
A nice little combo.
Oh, nice.
And that was like 2022.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. The next time we met, we can get into later. In fact, didn't meet. I just saw you from afar at Coachella. Do you remember that one?
Gosh, first the CCTV.
I have actually.
I have
a crazy story about that night too.
We don't have to talk about that, but still. Anyway, look, before we just carry on talking about how the occasions that Jordan and I have hung out, I'm going to ask some questions, which I mostly know the answer to, but people listening probably don't.
That's why it works.
It's not just about you.
It's for us.
And you've got the question in front of you too, Kate. In the last podcast, Danny and I were taking turns, so maybe we could just keep on rifling through.
All right.
I'm going to do the first one, though.
Okay.
All right. Well, we know who you are, Jordan Abrams, but tell us who you are and how you got to this stage of your career.
Okay. My name is Jordan.
Hi.
I'm like, what do I say for who I am?
I mean, I don't know why I still said that.
I guess we could say from LA.
Nice.
I think we can define that. Mm-hmm. Love to connect.
Nice.
whatever that means.
Yeah.
I think a big thing about how I got to where I am is just being a genuine fan, and that will never change. Music, you know, like always. Streaming, buying, you know, attending live shows, and just wanting to be involved in things that I care about. So that's always been the case. And I started off doing digital marketing, you know, that kind of still seeps into what I do now, but I decided to exit. Announced my exit to digital marketing, but it was, you know, I was doing it around the time right before TikTok, so understood like how that ate up what digital marketing now is. And you know, even worked with Musical.ly and Triller, and I was actually a college rep in college for Sony, and I was like giving them digital ideas, and you know, did the internships, the digital internships, and I think, you know, that was a good way to see everything about music industry and like what, how everything works and what's interesting and what's like less, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, I would interface with managers and I was like, oh, okay, that's where I should be, you know? And I think what management just kind of, you fall into management by just doing it. So yeah, I can get into that too, but
yeah,
that's kind of the journey.
Awesome. I have a quick question on Triller. That's the first time I've heard of that for a while. Is it still going? Or
I think it is, but like, maybe they've pivoted. Like, I'm sure they're in like crypto now or something.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Dogecoin. I made that up, but they probably,
don't quote me.
No.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about them either recently.
But it was, but before TikTok was really the main platform, like that was also, like, it was like equal. You would promote, like, you know, when you're first promoting your music, you would go on Triller too. And I think they were actually doing like artist programs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think I half remember like a Dylan Francis house party Triller experience.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Anyway, that's all I really know
about it. But it was the same premise.
Yeah, okay.
You go on, do a you do some type of visual and add music or add a sound.
All right, so you fell into it.
Fell into that.
Yeah, I mean, love it.
But that is still part of like, it monopolized
for
sure.
every part. So it's still, it comes around quite a bit, like even in management, and you still have to kind of like work with your clients on that. But it's very case by case specific, like how they want to lean in or not, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I realize I didn't ask you, Kate, before the podcast, whether you were happy to ask questions.
I'm happy.
Yeah, segue into that one. I feel like this perfectly goes into the next one.
Okay. Tell us about your management, artists, and projects.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, worked with Quincy Jones at the beginning of my management career, and we've now kind of taken the clients that we were with him, and now we've created a new company. It's called Early Hour, just launched. So a lot of really, really fun projects in management and outside of management, and you know, they all kind of help each other. And I think it's a big part of where I see things heading, you know, and how managing a label might help, you know, your management duties. And I also work on a festival. Talent by, you know, we're a festival in Miami. It's called Montreux Jazz Festival. It was, you know, in Switzerland, but we have the license, brought it.
I didn't know that you were working on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The first one was last year, in 2024, and happening again this year. Our partner is John Batiste, who's incredible.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that's a really fun thing. And talent buying is like, I love, you know, utilizing the skills of you, because you get offers as a manager, you know, so you know how to approach offers when you're buying talent.
Very cool.
So that's a fun one. You know, management clients. I've worked in a lot of hip hop. Eric the Architect, as we know, that's how we met. You know, a client named Mazin, who is incredible. I think a lot of producers and songwriters, I've done that kind of my whole career too, and it kind of, you know, fluctuates as things are active. Worked in R&B. I think we've connected on one of those clients in the past too.
Yeah.
And and two labels. And I work with, manage two labels, and kind of, it's Eric's label that we did his debut album on, and another one as well with one of our management clients. And yeah, that's the scope of what's going on.
Stay busy.
A lot.
It makes sense that they would all feed into each other. It makes sense that they would all play into each other and like have their parts within management, and that's really cool. And I feel like everything probably leading you up to that point, how you fell into it, I feel like contributes to all of the different projects, like all of the different management fields and artist buying and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's like essentially curating like a lineup, right? Is that what that is?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay, nice. Yeah, very cool.
Curating the lineup and just kind of the programs around it.
But totally.
Yeah, all of management is just playing offense, you know? Like just offense for your clients busting down the doors and telling people what they want and what they need and what you need for them to do the things.
Yeah.
So being on the other side is always helpful, you know, getting the skills to and understanding like what the best course of action is. Release strategy and planning is like the number one thing that you take into your management.
Yeah.
You know, so doing label stuff, you know, pitching, like creating a perfect pitch, that that's all it is.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's a skill. That's a skill not everyone has.
Next question.
Offense, just being a bully sometimes.
No, yeah, but it's important. I feel like it's like, well, being a bully sometimes, like that, like asserting that you know what you know is true about the, like you clearly stand behind these artists for a reason and you believe in them. So it's like, you know, being fully invested in that will come off as like, hey, like we're doing this, like this is going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Just unconditionally too.
Exactly. You know? There we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, to go into the next question, do you see yourself kind of in a similar place in the next like 5 years? Or do you see it like kind of becoming more or something else, or maybe leaning more into like one? Would you always want to be doing all the different things in this sphere of what you've described, or like kind of
zone in
on one? Thank you. I was trying to find.
It's such a good question. Like, do you guys know what you want to do in 5 years? I don't know.
That's a tough one. That's always a tough one.
Tough one.
But
5 year plan.
I think the simple answer is like pretty much the exact same thing. Like I love really this. Keeps me buzzed. And I think the several different projects, like just building network, you know.
Yeah.
But it is enjoyable, kind of putting on different hats, and so. I think it is looks pretty similar, and just maybe bigger scales and more successes for the clients, you know?
Yeah.
More success. I mean, in 5 years, there's going to be superstars. So,
hell yeah.
Managing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to change.
Yeah. And, you know, more tours. Mm-hmm. It's always fun.
Is there like a tour you would want to go, like different country, different part of the US or the world, like that's anywhere you want to go?
Yeah. I mean, we've done a few tours, global tours this year. Got the chance to go to Europe and do that. But tour managing is not really exactly for me. I mean, I've done it. It's like, you know, that's a full-time job.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Like, yeah. I would never say you can like really juggle doing a tour management and like being on the road and then also like, you know, your management clients and stuff.
Was your question more kind of, would you like to send more of your artists on tour rather than tour manage?
Or? I just mean like, what countries do you want to tap into,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's a great question, because I think Australia has a really interesting ecosystem right now where, you know, like they're kind of doing more dates and more like shows than festivals, which they were like traditionally doing. You know, Asia, of course, like there's a great jazz scene in Japan that I think I would love to get a lot of clients into, and like, you know, building up that fan base, because it could be super lucrative. And, you know, a lot. It's great to get really, really, really locked in with different countries that you can like build a fan base there, and it trickles other, like Brazil also. Mm-hmm. Brazil is like
come
top.
To Brazil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah, like Brazil is like top of the list to like really tap open that market.
Yeah,
very cool.
But that's a great question, because there is a list, and like it's really about hiring teams there, you know, like having your radio promo there and your PR in Australia. Like, I think like a lot of US-based artists, they have their teams in the US, they have their teams in the UK, and then, you know, it just really takes budget to, like, hire your teams in all of the other ones we just mentioned.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really beneficial, so.
Yeah.
It's just about having people boots on the ground and, like, you know, keep building that visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Cool. I'm not going to ask you this next question because you've kind of already answered it, but also you could have said to me, Sammy, you idiot, I do more than just manage, because obviously you and I have predominantly worked together in the management sense. But I did know about Dublab, so perhaps I should have been a bit more wider with these questions.
Well, it's fun discovering that
this is true. This is true.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm basically saying is that a lot of these questions are just towards management rather than others. But
that's fine. Yeah. I can talk about management.
Yeah,
more.
Great, yeah. Cool. And maybe I'll get. I mean, I won't do this, but I was going to say maybe I'll freestyle a question later.
We'll love that.
Oh my god!
Maybe,
you know, going off. Stay tuned, you guys.
I want a freestyle,
and I'll just pretend that it was a freestyle. anyway, this one definitely isn't freestyled. How do you find your artists? And then, you know, perhaps take us through an example of how you began to represent one of them.
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of it is just kind of, it's mutuals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like working with a producer, and they work with an artist who needs management, and then everyone kind of grows fond of, and we already have, you know, a mutual person in between us that we're working with. I think that's the best way. You already know someone in between, everyone's working with it, and then it becomes really natural. I've definitely done the cold reach out before. I think we all have. I listen to a lot of BBC Radio 6, you know, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know that.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, so
yeah,
I've...
You know it, Sammy, don't you?
You know I know
UK.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I would say, my favorite way to discover music. I mean, so be a lot of it is UK-based, and that's a little bit tougher to do, like, a more of a management thing, but that's, like, where I find my favorite music, you know?
Nice. Sure.
And where I target a lot of my clients, you know, when we're doing radio campaigns. But I would say a lot of it is, it's really word of mouth when you start actually working with someone.
Okay.
You know, someone like that you're close with has an artist in mind and you already admire them. But both ways work equally well.
Yeah.
And a way I've met, I think, is this exactly that scenario, you know, just already knowing them, understanding what their wants or needs are already, you know, already starting to work unofficially first is really important, you know, just getting a flow, understanding like what they need and how I can help, and then, you know, eventually becoming more official. But that's kind of the best route.
Yeah, got it.
And more natural. Of the, yeah, and it just builds more longevity too, instead of just jumping into something like cold.
Yeah, it seems very like dating.
It really is.
Are you going to become exclusive? No, you're going to date first.
Yeah,
you know?
It really is, because you're doing the chit chat first, understanding this what you want. You know, like what kind of styles do you like? A lot of artists have already had, you know, a manager or a team member, you know, a teammate. You know, so it's understanding like what could be different or what they really liked. And I have my, like, I'm sure this is a question too, but like I have the way I do things, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know?
Nice. So yeah, well, that kind of, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. Sorry. I didn't want to interrupt, but I was going to say that's like almost goes perfectly. It's almost like Sammy planned this, but it kind of goes into perfectly of what do you look for in an artist, like an up and coming artist, or when you're considering representing them, like what do you look for? Like what solidifies the choice of like, oh yeah, this is like how I envisioned, you know, an artist I represent to be, like what stands out?
Yeah. I think it's like, creativity, you know, they have to have their own ideas that we can bounce off together. Not that those are the only ideas that are executed, because absolutely not. I think the whole team gets, you know, a say, but it's definitely that, like, they want to have other ideas. Maybe it's within or without music. And it's also to, of course, market the music and to, like, build their quote-unquote profile within music, because we all know that music is the most important thing, like the listener, but then also what you visualize is also, you know, up there. So it's the ability to kind of work on both of those things consistently and like in synchro. And then, you know, then when that's kind of happening and you get an idea of what that looks like, then you're bringing in a manager to help you really push that, amplify that, build out the whole team. I think that's the most fun part, is building out the whole team, you know, because it's not just... I think it's the strongest relationship sometimes, but it's not the only one, you know, so.
Are you at that stage with any artists at the moment, like that, the bit that you love, the building out the team?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think it's the best part, because, you know the people in the industry that do it the best.
Yeah.
You know, that the best publicist, like the best person that does radio, the best person that does digital or social media management, and brand teams. Like that is one of the most important team members you can have as an artist right now.
So do you have like a one or two of each in each of these kind of positions where you're like, right, they're my go-to if I can't get them?
Yeah,
like, yeah,
100%.
Okay. Love that.
I think for our company, we have like a publicist across the whole roster, because we know that they do it good,
right?
You know,
yeah.
But that's such a fun part. But you know, it's not. Everyone has their own specialties, so you go to someone for different types of ideas and for...
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Cool. Might have asked this one?
Wait, are you asking if you can ask this one?
I was asking Kate and looking at Kate. Do you mind? Do you mind?
Oh, go for it.
Oh, thank
go
you. what do you consider to be the most important aspect of an artist-manager relationship? Like, what do you absolutely need to get right?
So it's definitely trust. You know, they have to trust you.
Nice.
Or else, like, you can't do anything, really. And it's also just the communication style. Like, it being the same. It has to be the same. Like, the way we communicate needs, like, they welcome the same thing, and I welcome how they communicate. And, you know, artists like to text in the middle of the night and like to
they have an idea. Just,
exactly. Yeah. And that's totally fine. I think that I welcome that and prefer that than anything that's like, you know, not hearing from you for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You're, you know, so it's just having the same communication style and being like, you know, always on the same page and honest and open. And I think the other thing is just being friends. There's been like no world in which that type of relationship where it's so like interpersonal works without having that friendship foundation where you can hang out and not talk about work at all because you just know each other so well. And like also just being able to guess what they're going to say before they say it, you know, and just guess what they want before they say it as well. So the friendship needs to happen because then that builds like some of those.
That's the trust.
Yeah, exactly.
The connection. Yeah, totally.
Not meaning to get all like psychology, because I've been reading a book on it recently. But do you set boundaries? Only reason I ask is you mentioned that either they would not text you for 3 weeks, which you don't like, you know, is like you'd rather they were texting you all the time. But both of those are quite extreme. So it might be like, you know what? Can you actually just make sure that you text me like at least once a day and not every 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. Like, obviously, there's lots of different examples, but
that's such a good question.
Oh well, you know.
I mean, I should definitely be better at it.
Finally, that's the first person to say that to me in 10 podcasts.
Oh, right. No, you're doing good.
That's not true. You said they Sammy. Said last time.
Oh, Danny always got my back.
Sammy, you're doing good. I'm like impressed by these questions. You're like you're rolling. You're ripping and rolling.
Yeah.
But that, to your question, I'm like trying to be better at that, you know, because obviously I'm just eager, want to respond and my phone's always on, which is such a massive problem. Like, even while I'm sleeping, like, why am I on my phone while I'm sleeping?
What?
Are you guys like
eager. How do you do that?
I mean, it makes sense with, I feel like it's, like you said, it's hard when you're eager about it and you're passionate about like the job and like you want to be there for your artists. It's like, it can be hard to set those boundaries when you're like, you know, you want to be there for them. You want to be available.
Yeah.
And maybe that's so funny though. You're like, do I have a problem? Like, do you guys do this? Please. Somebody else has to do that.
Yeah. Like there's moments I'm like, am I sleeping or am I awake? I don't know.
Oh
but,
man.
Yeah. I mean, but I think when you're working with someone for a long time and like just the respect grows and they know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had a situation, knock on wood, where
it's like, been too far.
Which is nice because if that was it, then definitely the boundaries would be set. But
And presumably you love what you do too. So I imagine it's just, it's just, if it is everything that you're doing, you're kind of like, well, it's all consuming, but I love what I'm doing. So
Okay. It's just bleeds into your life. Like it's not really work. Like there is no separation really.
No.
So that's like not, it's an acquired taste, you know, to live like that.
Okay. Kate, I'm going to let you ask question number 8, I believe, if you have it in front of you.
Well, could you tell us about one of the up-and-coming artists on your roster, and maybe we can hear a track after you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, I think the track we discussed, wouldn't we, that it would be Eric's track. Sorry to ask you that question. You weren't privy to this information. You're going to do a remix from Eric the Architect, is that
right? Yeah, and we could talk about that as well.
Yeah, for sure. But just to mention, so if there's any like up and coming ones.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, I guess he's not up and coming in my mind. I think he's kind of pretty stratospheric.
But I think the solo journey for Eric has been really, really exciting because he's been in a band for the past 10 years.
Oh, wow.
15 years, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it is, you know, I don't think is as much like up and coming, but it's still, you know, like a newer project in the past like 5 years. I mean, he's done a ton of solo albums and mixtapes, but like, you know, his official debut album was this year in 2024. So. And we have a deluxe coming soon.
Nice.
So there's a lot of different like ideas that and world building that has gone into it. And then in terms of like more up and coming, I would say there's an artist I referred to in the beginning of the show, Mazin, who I think is really exciting. And I think is also his year. He's done, you know, Colors this year. He's done.
Oh, nice.
That's sweet.
On the Radar. You know, he's collaborate with some really cool producers and artists, you know, so I think he has a lot going on, and he also has a really cool I was saying before, like a profile where it's like, you know, when you see, hear his music, you can visualize who he is as an artist, and then and vice versa. When you see his image, you can hear the music. So I think that's important. Like, you guys have heard of like the Halloween costume idea?
Theory?
No.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah, I think I have. Yeah. It's well, it's similar to like a uniform. It's like similar to like someone having a uniform and being recognizable, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's, it's such an important thing to think about when like, we don't think about the Halloween costume, but the theory behind
it. No, it's a good way of like, you know, of getting it across, getting the idea across. Yeah.
Yeah. Uniform sounds so strict and conforming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. It could have a negative connotation, but it is, there is positives. It's like, you know, if you saw, similar to the Halloween thing, if you saw like somebody wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants outfit, that's just like a wild example. But like, he has a uniform. Like, you don't see him and you're like, oh, he's in uniform. It's like, that's his look.
Yeah, his look. Like, right, that's exactly. Like,
that's them. And you can't mistake them for someone else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that you can kind of like pick out right away. Not that like you'd have to put it on and be the costume, but you just kind of know. Or if it, like they were silhouetted or like something like that, you would know kind of what the essence of the artist is. I think that's like really important.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. I think that's really hard to do when you're figuring it out, unless you start there and that's what you know. But yeah. I don't know. Like
it is a special quality.
Yeah. It's hard to pick something like, what will people remember?
Yeah.
A lasting image.
It's just, it comes from like innate individuality.
Yeah. Totally.
It just comes from like what you already are, you know? Like, I don't think you particularly sit down at a desk and write it out, you know?
It wouldn't be natural.
And I think like all the best artists and the ones that have the longevity, and like even if they do have like the pop off song on TikTok, but they have like more moments after that, you know, it's just, there's something that you can put your finger on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is an extreme example, but it's making me think of the last podcast that we did when... I don't know if it was Ray or Cola or who said it, but Prince, they said that's like one of their,
it was Ray.
It was one of their inspiring artists. That's like an extreme example, of course, like of like you would recognize the silhouette anywhere and like the symbol, like just like, you know, the look.
Yeah.
But that's like, I mean.
But it's like to think about that when you're first starting off is really hard. So it just has to be part of your identity. And I think that goes back to like the question that you asked, like, what do you look for? It's really that, like something that's like just exciting and fresh. Doesn't have to be new per se, because a lot of people do, you know, do a refresh of another look, but just something that is like, oh, that's unique.
It's truly them,
you know?
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
How do you spell it? How do you spell Mazen? Just so that...
Yeah, M-A-Z-E-N.
M-A-Z-E-N.
Yeah.
And we'll add something in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about a few of these things. Check out their colors episode.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He's actually in London right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Interesting. Need any studio time?
Yeah, actually.
Oh. Now you're just now realizing.
Wait, I just put that together. Yeah. We're getting to Sammy's favorite question.
Yeah, I do get excited.
This is a great segue.
This is the best question. The best.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
He's so nervous to ask.
I wouldn't go that far. Anyway, tell us something that you love and also something that you hate about Pirate.
Okay. Something that I love is the access. It's so easy.
Nice.
And also like I've been to the one in, what was it, Bushwick?
In New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Bushwick, Gowanus, or Ridgewood, but probably Bushwick because it's like the one that everyone, use.
Exactly, that one, Silver Lake, Mid-City, right?
Yeah, it's like about Mid-City, West Adams. Yeah, it's close.
Yeah.
It's just like very universal, and like when you're in a major city, and I feel like when we would need spaces in London, we would use them too.
Sure.
And also like, I remember we've done like some content here done, like the live stream that we're referring to, but also like there was a moment of just kind of filming a rehearsal and that went like pretty viral.
Yeah.
With one of my other projects. So I think that's a big, amazing plus, because it's just an easy space where you can get out of the house and like do some easy run and gun content, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when an artist is already, you know, focused on their craft and they're rehearsing, they're not like in content mode, because I don't know. I have thoughts on content mode, but you know, when you're already doing something that feels natural to you, and then you get content out of it, then it's already going to do better. You know?
Yeah, got it. Yeah, nice.
And connect forced. More. Yeah, yeah. It's going to connect more. So I think that has worked for us in the past.
Okay.
So that's the plus.
I've got a hate for you if you can't think of one, but I'm sure I'll give you a chance first.
Yeah, I mean, what am I meant to say? I don't know.
No, we won't take offense. That's the thing. Yeah, it's free reign.
Honestly, we like to know, like, if there are things. And it doesn't have to be hate, obviously.
Wait, I have another plus.
Another plus.
Another plus.
I love it.
I thought of another plus. Oh. But once we use the space to for an artist to get glammed, you know?
Oh.
You know?
So there's other uses for the space.
I mean, yeah, you're renting the space. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that's another plus.
Nice.
I think it's the self-service thing, you know, sometimes I think the negative is just the self-service and, like, you know, if there's any questions that arise.
Yeah. A whole model.
Yeah.
I'm joking. It's funny you mention it because I'll let you finish.
He's ready to go. I know, but I think it's like that's the plus, but it's also like if you have any questions or like there's something missing or you can't get into the door. I have like a huge problem with doors. Like I can never open a door. So like if that happens,
to be fair,
you know,
they don't all go
one direction. They can be tricky at times.
No, I completely get that.
A door hates to see me coming because I will not so figure it out.
I mean, it's like you did kind of mention the access. So it's like it is like a pro and a con. Mm. The self-service, it's like there's pros to it, but then, like, you know, in terms of like having immediate help, you know, like somebody on site, physical person, it can be tough. Mm-hmm.
But there is sometimes, right? Like that's when I ran into.
And obviously Danny's on site in West Adams, kind of, what is it, like 5 hours
it's
a day?
It's usually in the morning, that's the thing. Like, sometimes midday, but.
Yeah.
Rarely.
Yeah, because if you were there in the evenings, it's like everyone's going to be full. Yeah. You're not going to be able to go in and fix it.
You can't get in between. That's the thing.
I think the point is when you are there, it's better.
It is. Yeah. It does happen when I run into someone in the hallways.
You know, your extra hours.
yeah. It would be like a separate shift almost. You know, you want to be there when there's not people so you can refresh the studios. But then you also, it is nice to be there when there's people having bookings because they catch you in the hallway. They need help. It can be an easy, quick fix as opposed to like getting on the artist support line.
For sure.
Totally. Talking with the AI bot.
I think it's probably worth mentioning. You know, the original thinking behind the self-service aspect was, and probably quoting Bori, our CEO here, that he didn't like showing up to the desk and there being some stoned, uninterested studio manager who didn't like give a shit about anything, right? So it's kind of, we removed that aspect and it helped and get us to where we are right now, but we're kind of becoming to realize that actually having people on site to support with things like that, you know, like issues with your session, not being able to open a door, stuff like that would, like, it's really beneficial. And we're actually moving the business into a more of a, like, a people on site type model. So, you know, don't be surprised if probably in 2, maybe 3 years' time you walk into a pirate and there's like a bar.
Properly vet them, though.
There's like there's an equipment shop and there's
or at least like not the first person you see. They're around.
You just properly vet the person that you're hiring so they don't care.
Well, this is the thing that you need the bar, you need the shop, you need the live event space to be able to afford the people on the site.
Totally.
And you know, security, obviously, we know can be an issue at times too. So yeah, I appreciate it. There is like a plus and a minus.
But there is, I just remembered, there's like a concierge text service
for
right?
sure, but
it's different
but as long as everyone knows that you can get an answer.
Kate's the expert on
it's like
that.
What I do
really
customer support
just sends text all day
support. Oh, that's all I do. I just text.
Well, good. I mean, as long as everyone knows that, then everyone wants to text instead of talk to anyone anyway.
You'd be surprised though, some people just want to call and be like, I can't book this room, like, because someone else booked it.
That's all they want to say.
They just want to hear it.
They
want to hear it.
And the community part too, right?
Like,
you guys do a great job with community. And I remember, is Emma V?
Yeah, Emma V.
Spoke to her. She was incredible. I think she had so many ideas.
Yeah.
I think that you guys are on a good track of just building that community, people that
that kind of all moves in that same direction, because, you know, there are more people, more like physical community and stuff like that. So that's the thinking.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. Gotta be.
And how do you, like, is there a database where you can, like, connect with other people that have been at a pirate? Like,
that was like a dream at one point to, like, make that a real thing, almost like an online marketplace. But other, and by that I mean like people could connect, and maybe, you know, you've got like a producer in Leeds looking for like a singer songwriter in LA, you could put them together or whatever.
You just have like opt in.
Pretty much, but it became very hard to build, and you know, we had to like make studios and keep them operating and things like that, and you know, pandemic. So it's a good idea though, and maybe we will like resurface that once we kind of get profitable and move on to the next stage.
Do you have Discord?
We've tried with Discord a few times. Didn't really know. It's like a lot. The best thing is like the in person events, like Mike, which Danny generally runs, but Kate ran last night, which was awesome. All the open sessions and just all these kind of physical communities. I think once we've managed to build that to a certain level, then things like Discord and that start to make more sense.
Yeah,
at least that's my thinking.
You incentivize people for joining too.
Yeah,
they will
definitely.
Well, and like when people are familiar with being at the physical event, they might be like, "Oh, like how can I be at one of these?" But like when we're not doing them, like if they're super eager to like do the communal thing, then it can be like more popular online.
I think there's a lot of untapped creativity for the use of the space, like what you're saying, a glam room is so excellent. Like people don't know, you can use the room for
so
almost
you're
anything.
Not damaging anything.
You're not doing anything illegal. Like
between content rehearsing.
And the rooms are so kind of like a blank canvas. You could do anything, like lighting. You can make it look and appear however, what genre, whatever is your vibe.
Photo shoot. We did that before too.
Nice. Just charge you more.
Wait, I have a question for you guys. You talked about events and like, are you in the promoter space yet or doing like showcases? Like, I feel like that's the bag.
I know there was an idea for it to have a curated, not just kind of like what it is now is whoever shows up, signs up, and then we do it. Mm-hmm. But more of a curated kind of evening of the local community was an idea, and it just doesn't have like the backing really, I think, of getting people consistently to just keep bringing it, and then also to host it, because the events now, I mean, we're just sharing, and to have like a curated, they kind of run the events as they are now, they kind of run themselves, like you know, once you're set, everything's set up, you just kind of like, it just goes. And there's not too much to do, but I think a curated event does kind of like, if you're inviting a band or an artist into a space, like you're going to have to work for them a little bit. Make sure it's all...
I think it can happen.
It can totally happen. I just think it needs to be like executed right.
Yeah,
I think
definitely needs some things.
I mean, I really see you guys like entering into the LA showcase scene. You know how there's so many that when you're an up and coming artist, you kind of, it's like a rite of way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like with the structure that you guys have already built in.
Yeah. But there's also the issue of like the state.
Before I was with Pirate, I know there was something sort of showcasey at the West Adams location, right? Am I wrong?
I mean, the closest Bianca thing I can Oblivion think of is like Pirate Live, which we did pre-pandemic, where we'd live stream from the studios, different bands and
I was
DJs,
thinking of that event you guys had at West Adams. It was like partially outside that you mentioned.
DJs. It was more just an event and like who wanted to play. To be honest, I think it's hard because Pirate is for everyone, really.
Yeah.
You know, somebody wants to come and learn to play the drums right the way through to superstar DJs who are practicing before their tour. And as such, you know, events like the one last night at Mike, some of those people, like the point is to give them the platform to perform for the first time.
Yeah.
And like, we don't want to take that away by kind of saying, hey, you know, you can't play this, you can't play that. Don't get me wrong, like something maybe later down the line on the promoter side could make sense, but we've generally tried to stay away from that because we want to be for everyone. And the great thing about it is that no one's there, not to say that they would, but like no one's there like judging. It's like, yeah, great, you got in front of everyone and you've plucked up the courage to do this.
So it's kind of like finding that middle ground where like you're promoting everyone, you know?
It's like we don't charge for our events, you know, so we just want to provide a platform for people, because at the end of the day, that we like to think they're making music for themselves, and if they then want to perform to someone else, then great. But in answer to your question, we're not really in that space,
not
and
quite.
I don't know whether that's going to change.
Yeah.
But it's a good question.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, that was kind of me asking you where you see yourself in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here for it. I come from like theater. I'm like live show it up. Live everything.
I think definitely more events like that, that will happen.
We're picking
it
up.
Whether they're curated or not. I did want to quickly get in that the hate that you could have used is... I hate how much I love Pirate.
That one just came to me. That is so corny.
Wow. Come on, that's great.
It's an over-consuming love.
Yeah.
Do you want a little wine with the cheese you just laid out?
Oh my god!
Wait,
got enough cheese later at Pizza Palace, Kate.
Let's go.
We are getting close.
We need to we need Jordan to introduce a track.
Oh yeah.
By Eric, I believe. Yeah. Because what we're going to do then is we'll play it in and we'll say goodbye and everyone's happy hopefully with where they're at, unless there are any other questions at this stage.
No, I don't think so.
Any more stories?
Oh, the Coachella story.
Oh shit.
Oh yeah.
If it can
the
be
Coachella
brief.
Story. Okay, I'll keep it brief.
Okay.
I was at Coachella. This is like 2 years ago. I somehow had like I feel like I managed to break into the stage.
I think I was
like
at that Coachella.
Yeah. Oh really?
Billie Eilish headlined.
No.
Oh.
2 years
ago. It was Gorillaz.
I think it was.
Oh, that was. You're
anyway,
right, Bad Bunny.
Long story short, I found myself backstage where like White Fang was playing and Eric was about to go on to do like a little cameo. It was like a song, wasn't it? The song they did together.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them at a distance. I could see Jordan, I could see Eric, and then I could see this fucking massive bouncer dude who was just like watching me like every movement like a hawk.
Yeah, he thought you looked sus.
Yeah, well, I was sus. I don't even know how I got there.
Because you were just staring.
And I was just like, I want to get over there, but at the same time, I don't want to get killed.
Yeah.
And then he just basically came over and was like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Okay, fine. But it was perfect timing because I ran around and I just
and
got into the crowd.
Oh, you saw it?
Just for the beginning. And I was like, this is one of the sickest things I've ever seen. And I actually like try and find that video. I've got that video
That's
somewhere
so
where
fun.
I always just go back to it because he did such an amazing performance.
Oh,
you had
man,
the, like
that
the drone
cool,
like flying
right?
in and out of the crowd.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was very excited about that and I wanted to get that across. So yeah, I was like, I could see that's the thing. I could see Jordan in distance.
I remember like texting like, how do we get you?
Kind yeah, of yeah. yeah.
But I'll tell you off record some crazy other things that happened that night.
Yeah.
But
okay.
But it was a really cool set. I'm a fan of that. Like the mix of her DJing and him.
Yeah.
Like, MCing, it was just really interesting.
And so good.
Yeah, I think it was crazy that security is so tight.
Yeah, well, I can understand. I mean, I don't know how I got
I
that
get
far.
It, yeah,
yeah how did you get there?
I had to grease a few wheels.
Okay.
Just wandered there.
Yeah.
He's a charisma guy.
That's funny.
Anyway, so yeah, introduce the track and then let me say goodbye. Is that good?
Yeah. Bye. Yes. Well, okay, so we're going to play Jammy Jam. It's a Skinny Light remix, which is Eric's song that he remixed under his remixer profile that launched with the song.
Mm.
So it's also, it's produced, it's written and remixed by him. Which I'm
very cool.
And it just came out like last month. So
I'm looking forward to this.
How we going dressed? Girl, you know you best. We can roll something up, popping up the Netflix. Why you go against me? Go from full of jealousy. Says she want to love her, but she looking for a best. New Jack City, feeling like Wesley. I'm in your city, getting Lily off energy. Think about memories. If it's gone, let it be. If it come back, I could be a better me eventually. Hey. Loving you is easy. We can take it where you wanna be at. Wanna drive the Lambo, what a fear. All a nigga wanna use beer. That's right. Loving you is easy. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Thank you so
great.
Much.
Thanks for coming down.
Very cool.
It's been awesome. Thank you for taking the time. Sorry we're a little bit late.
You're
starting.
Yeah.
That's Flash's fault.
Wow, on the pod.
Yeah. We're bleeping
well, because Flash is going to come on a podcast soon, so I can refer to it.
Oh, okay, cool. That's
funny.
Yeah. Okay, nice, sweet.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Well,
thanks
thank you so much. Good questions. Good stuff.
You guys can. All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.